Blog Talk Radio.
We even got Scott.
Hey. Hi.
Let me just turn off. I didn't expect anybody to be here on time, and Rebecca was first. Can you believe that? Not a half hour late.
Woman.
Not an hour late. Not 15 minutes late. She was about 20
A woman
seconds.
Leads the way.
And you're just normal, Scott, because you're always late.
Oh. All right.
Oh, well.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm okay. Hey, you guys.
Who else was there?
You.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Rebecca.
Anyway, just me and Rebecca. All right.
If you pay attention and get here a little bit, you know, it's your show, maybe a minute early, you know who's here.
I was hurrying.
You know what I'd like to do? To do that.
Okay.
That's right. Blow you up sometimes. But hey.
Oh. Hey, you know, if everybody's listening right now, if we lose the show for some reason, it would be because of technical difficulties and Mother Nature. It's
and
really
Mother
windy
Nature.
Over this neck of the woods.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I've had a couple of gusts
and
that things have blown blown off and come back on, so should be all right, hopefully. Not too bad. It's not bad outside, but it always happens.
My neighbor just lost about a 30-foot tree. It just come over.
Oh, wow.
It's blowing. It's supposed to calm down, though, I hear. But anyway.
Somebody pissed off Mother Nature. Now, which one of you was it?
Scott. Scott what did
That'd
it. I'm an, angel. I'm an angel.
It'd be me.
By the way, since this is going through my internet system, if something happens, keep going because they can hear you. They just can't hear me.
Okay. Oh.
Huh. Yeah.
Okay.
And no emails. We have zero emails. And by the way, it's Faxer First, FAXER1ST, at AOL.com. By all means, I put in the subject line that you are from the UAW show, or listen to the UAW show, so I know it's not spam. And if it's something I know the Einsteins on this show cannot answer, I know one man it can. Right, Scott? Rebecca? We know one
right,
man
right.
that it'd be Dick Danger.
Yes,
so,
is he's gonna join us from the woods today?
I don't know. I hope so. And him and Jimmy, more than welcome all the time.
I just said hi to Jim. He's in the chat room.
Oh, is he?
Yes,
okay.
He is.
I'm not in the chat room. Oh, I'm in the chat room without the window open. I have to open everything separate with this chat room thing. So it screws me up. So I look at the switchboard, I can't see the chat room, if you know what I mean. And how you doing, Jimmy? Hope you're feeling good, my friend. Jimmy's a good guy. It works at the metal fab that everybody wanted to get into from the truck plant. You remember that, Scott?
Yep,
were you
yep.
at...
Yep.
Plant when everybody, you know, was trying to get on over there. And I guess they're lucky they didn't.
Well, there for a while that they were booming. They were working overtime like you wouldn't believe.
Yes, they were.
And that dried right up. Oh
yeah.
It's unfortunate. I mean car sales are down. You know, and they were making a lot of car sales. I'm hearing that they, you know, they are going to be doing something over there to help supply us more of our metal.
Right.
Which I don't know. I mean, Jim would have to explain on that. I don't know how much that's going to help or hurt. That would give them, you know, truck and car parts they'd be making. So
right.
I know that they were making, I believe, Impala parts, Malibu parts, and some Cadillac parts. Those sales are down. We know that they're talking about killing the Impala. I'm trying to think. There's five other vehicles they're talking about killing. The Volt. The Volt is one of them.
Yeah.
And that affects your jobs. You know,
of course
when
it does.
You're losing products like that. Yeah. And there's only so many standing facilities around.
Let me mention this too. Now I know Dick sent me some emails, and matter of fact, I told Scott I had them up. There was nothing on them, but the address, and it had the Facebook insignia, you know, the F, and that was all it had on. I said no. It said I'm leaving Facebook. I think it said, and there was like three or four of them like that, and I don't know why that. I don't even know who's leaving Facebook or what that deal was, but whoever's leaving Facebook, I'm going to join you, believe me, soon.
Oh, whatever.
No, Facebook sucks.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it may, but it's hard to communicate these days.
That's true. That's true. But I don't communicate, so I'm fine with that.
Well, I'm hoping I was kind of excited that one of our Jeep pages today had the conversation about our Constitution started, and I was so excited because, you know, I try to start those throughout time, and
right.
You know, I'm boohooed quite often or just ignored basically, and so it got started again today. So I was so excited, and I thought maybe some people would join the show tonight because I said, listen, you know, we do have to start talking about this, and it was great because Scott from Chicago posted his invitation to his union meeting, which was, hey, come out here, we got to start working on our constitutional amendment stuff. And so it was just perfect timing. And
right.
I posted that over there, and hopefully that's going to provoke more people to have more interest in and getting themselves a little more educated. And I did at our last, I think I said it last week or the week before when we talked about the last time we talked about the Constitutional Convention and the constitutional changes that we all like to see. I said I was going to ask for some training in our next union meeting, and I in fact did. So I'm real excited to say that our Local 12 president is going to meet with me this week, and we're going to talk about that. And he's very interested in providing that for us, and I am excited about it. So I'm hoping that that'll catch on, and we'll be just more.
Instead of go to Black Lake, go to Dick's house. You'll learn a hell of a lot more. And no BS. No lies. There you go.
I wonder if Dick.
Right.
But will Dick come down here? Dick, come to Toledo. You can come to Michigan and stay with me, and then just go to Toledo. You don't really want to go to Toledo.
Because
that's in Ohio.
Portland, Ohio. Oh man, that's asking a lot for Dick to do that. I'm telling you, just the word Ohio.
Yeah.
I know, but I was, you know, we had a thing. The women's committee had a trunk or treat thing today at the Local 12, and I was down there, and some guy walked up with his kids, and he had this shirt on that said, "Take me back to Ohio." I said, "Why?" Why would you want to go there?
Wow.
So, anyway, we have a busy day today.
Well, good.
Awesome.
Awesome. That was very interesting. No place.
the trunk or treat. That's a good alternative to I guess trick-or-treating. It's probably a little safer, you know, and that would also show the local union's outreach to the local community, which is kind of cool,
mm-hmm.
knowing that all of our communities are under attack via that the local unions are all under attack, and we don't have the proper leadership at Solidarity House, and that's affecting us. You know, I thought about this last week, and Don, I mean, you follow a lot of news and stuff, and when things happen, it's especially in the political arena, when one side gets caught doing something or the other side gets caught doing something, it's big news. It's always big news, you know, and we see things happen in our communities and in our states and, of course, across the United States. We see things happen, and people deem that to be, you know, big stories, okay? I'm not saying, like, you know, the sensationalistic sex scandal or something like that, but, you know, I would think that when somebody is under investigation for embezzlement from one of the largest labor unions in the United States,
right.
I sure thought that would make big news somewhere. And I don't think it's gotten very far outside of the Detroit area.
No.
That radius.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about all the stuff that's been going on this week, you know. You know, I'm going to call it the casting couch, whatever you want to call it, you know, with Weinstein. Okay, everybody knows. You know,
does he build trucks or is he in a union? Just ask.
Well, I'm just saying this, you know,
might
he has all the stuff. We know it's been going on for years. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you what. The stuff that's going on down in Detroit, down at Solidarity House, has been going on for years, too. And a lot of people just either willingly shove their head in a bucket of sand, or they're just oblivious to it. We don't understand what the outcome on this is going to be on us, the worker, the members of the UAW, and what's happening right now. You know what I mean? Years. This has been going on for years. We've been watching our contracts deteriorate, and to the point now to where nobody's talking about this. And you're right, Rebecca. Somebody's got to start talking about amendments to the Constitution, what we're going to do with the Constitution. I understand that. But more importantly, it's when we go there, it's we're going to elect your next round of leadership. And it just happens to me that they just keep passing the wand to the next
mm-hmm.
person, the predecessor goes. And we get a wink and a nod and a pat on the head, and there, here you go.
Right.
What goes on down there at Solidarity House is they align themselves in caucuses. They've already been doing this. They've probably been doing this for a year now. Well, now that this stuff come out with the money, and I think that I really believe, in my opinion, that this affected all of our contracts. And I'm sure, like Dick said a couple weeks ago, this is going to be bigger. It's getting there. But I'm wondering how this is going to shake the house up.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. But we do have a caller. Let me get 989
okay.
on.
Hey, how you guys doing? I think
hey,
Richard's
brother,
coming
yeah.
on right behind me.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I'll be looking for the push one on your keypad. We got a lot of people in the switchboard. Just push one on
Can
your
I
keypad.
Can I explain something to you, Don, real quick? Richard wasn't saying he was getting off Facebook. What that is that's a link, and Scott maybe is aware of this. It's just telling you when you click on that link, you're going off Facebook to look at that. That was Harvard University posts and stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Really?
I kept it. I did save it, but I didn't know what the hell it was. Oh, okay. Thanks, Jim. Oh, I feel like an idiot.
I waited 3 days to click on the damn thing, too.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know what it is.
Oh, man.
You know.
I didn't have a clue. I thought some dick was leaving Facebook or something.
No, that one's for Harvard, and there's another one for another university that it won't allow me to copy and paste the things to Facebook for them. Richard has a hard time figuring out how to put what he finds on the
right.
Facebook pages. So a lot of things I've been doing for him, and he's just been dying for questions from the people. So if they could email him, God, he'd go crazy over it.
That'd be awesome.
I mean that with wholeheartedly, Rebecca, that honestly, if you got questions, get a hold of the man. He'll talk with you until your ear falls off.
Okay. I tried to reach him some time back, and I was unsuccessful, but then I got busy, but I will do that again.
Well, good, because Dick can sure help anybody that listens, or you know anybody that needs some advice on what's going on. Dick is the man to get a hold of. There's Dick not getting on that. He's the man I'd go to.
You there, Richard? Say something.
Are you not there?
No, he
yeah,
has a call.
There he is. Is that him?
I didn't.
He's.
Is this another number I'm supposed to click on or what?
Try it, because he's going to be a 989 also.
There's no, you're the only 989, brother. There's
okay.
No down here. No. You're the only Jimmy 989 so far.
Oh, he just yelled at me, told me to hurry up and get on here. I didn't do it right, I guess.
Uh-oh.
Well, he'll let you know. You know, Dick. He'll smack us around. But anyway,
anyway.
Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I guess, are you feeling better, Jim? Are you making any progress?
They got me doing this crazy therapy. I go in front of the worker pomp board the 30th. Your question to what my plan is doing, there isn't a lot going on. The only thing that we're making now is we're going to continue to run what I call MVAN. That phases out, in another year or so. And then when that goes, we'll lose all the C presses up front. That will leave us with two running presses and one running blanker, strictly dedicated to your plant. The Camaro parts, they were sent back to Lansing earlier in the spring. The Cadillac parts, they went down with Poletown. And I don't know if
right.
you're aware, but Spring Hill now has their stamping plant. So we've sent pretty much almost all our dies to Spring Hill.
Uh-oh.
Damn.
Well, they have
uh-oh.
Day wage down there. If you're aware, Scott, they got day wage. Not tier one, not tier two, not tier three, four, or five. Day wage. You do a good job today, you come back tomorrow.
Wow.
Oh,
you
wow.
Kidding? Oh, man, if they don't like you, you didn't do a good job. Goodbye.
Yeah.
That's
Are you
something.
Familiar with Document 16, Scott?
Not really.
Well, your chairman is responsible for your behavior now.
What?
Oh, really?
I'll let that set in. Think about that for a minute.
Oh, that's incredible.
Where is the document 16 of what? I'm sorry.
In the GM National Agreement. I'm with General Motors.
Oh, okay.
So
oh, okay.
In our agreement under document, not paragraph, document 16, it ties in a bunch of stuff. I mean, but in the bottom end, it says your chairman's responsible for your behavior and your attitude.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And what exactly is that have to do with being in the contract?
Well, I think where it gets to, it goes into that through paragraph K, because I've been trying to work with Dick with L which is sourcing. Then they throw K at you, and then K goes crazy. Why is paragraph 78 in K? Paragraph 78, if you're familiar with the National Agreement in General Motors, that's speed up. They want it.
Right.
Understand, you got an extra 3 seconds, we want it.
Wow. Yeah, that's something. I didn't know
about
that.
In the end, it turns around and says that your chairman is responsible for your behavior. Behavioral attitude, I believe is how it was written. I wish Richard was here. Dang him.
If he pushes, there is a 989 number that is here now at the bottom. If you push 1, I'll make sure that's Dick. 836, is that his first 3 digits of his phone number? Jimmy?
Damn, I know the last 4.
Does it end in an 8?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to put 989 on right
hello,
now.
Hello, 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 hello,
hello.
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 Trying to get up.
Is anybody there?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you got to turn. Somebody's got their computer on.
Yes, sir.
Turn your computer off, Richard.
Yeah, I had mine on. I can't hardly hear it on the computer.
Somebody's got their computer on.
That's me. It's going off. It's off.
All right.
All right. Before we go any farther with what Jim was trying to explain, he jumped in with document 16. That's not the place to dive in. The place to dive in on that is page 8 of the UAWGM highlights, where they talk about the UAWGM Council of Solidarity House, where they talk about the UAWGM Global Manufacturing Committee at Solidarity House, and how those two structures are replicated at the local union level. Now, you have a UAWGM council at your local. You have a UAWGM GMS committee at your local union. Now, the language that goes to that, it's all centered on the sourcing language, which is Appendix L. And Appendix L operationalizes through Appendix K and the details of what's in Appendix K is an 11-page document called Document 16. And what that describes in great detail is how this GMS committee operates and what's involved in it, who's responsible and accountable for what. You have a titular pair under the sourcing activity, that is the plant chairman and the plant manager, not to be confused with the key 4. There is a unique relationship between the chairman and the plant manager. And what they have done is, you know, to sharpen all the tools you got around your house in the old pioneer days, you had a big grinding wheel. Well, Appendix L, the sourcing language, is the grinding wheel where all that stuff Jim was kind of alluding to goes on. So what they're saying is, if you go back to page 8 of the highlights, if you really read that, you can kind of see it, but you have to read Appendix K, Appendix L, Document 16. And then when you go to Appendix K, there are references under there to paragraph 78, paragraph 73, paragraph 63, and a couple of others. So you have to read those subparagraphs. You have to read the two appendixes, you have to read the document, you have to understand how they're loosely explaining about it in page 8 of the highlights, but then you really have to go back and parse out all that language, because this is a very, very sophisticated process that hides all manner of things. Now, on the when they describe what the role of workers are, what they're doing is they're saying sourcing is the place where you determine whether you're going to get work or lose work. And they say that in broad brush strokes. And then how sourcing operationalizes is on Appendix K, where they go into a great deal of detail explaining to you, if you step back and really look at it, whether your plant's going to get work, whether your plant's going to lose work, whether you're going to be competitive or not, and how what that means to the average worker is all in Appendix K. And one of those things where they talk about being competitive is they define pairs of things that people are going to have to do. And one of the things is that the chairman and the plant manager are responsible for this whole activity, or their designated representative. And the interesting thing here that I'm not sure can't be complained about, maybe even to the National Labor Relations Board, is how many of Scott, have you ever seen the language in the General Motors Global Production System? Have you seen the big binder?
No, I have not.
Okay. And I know Jimmy hasn't, so I'm not singling you out. What I'm saying is all this is justified by saying that your behaviors and all this stuff that's going to go on is within the parameters of the global manufacturing system. And what is insane is nobody knows what it says, do they?
No.
It's not on the internet. I searched Google 2 nights ago for anything and everything, and I get a bunch of vague language. And all it says in Appendix K is that you guys will perform according to the 7 principles of the global manufacturing system, whatever the heck those are. And I don't care if they gave you a list and said, here are the 7 principles. That's nonsense. Because you have a whole contract full of pages that you're working under now. You're first working under the language in the global manufacturing system, and then you're working under the language of the contract. That's how this is set up. So the global manufacturing system defines working conditions for you. And this time, they came out from under the blanket and said contained in those working conditions is the behaviors and attitudes of workers. Now, we've never negotiated language about behaviors and attitudes. And where Jimmy was trying to say is the chairman is responsible. Well, I explained this very quickly to Jim. The chairman and the plant manager are the UAW GM Council, but they're also the UAW GMS committee. Now, if you think about this, when we were all up to our ears in the Volkswagen thing down there, when Bob King many years ago said, I think the Works Council structure would fit very nicely in our contracts, if anybody remembers that. And the fact is, there were a lot of people saying, well, the Works Council, you have a supervisory committee, and then you have a local union Works Council, and you have a local union supervisory committee. Very loosely put, the analogy here is the UAW GM Council at Solidarity House and its local union little brother in the local, these are the people that look at everything that's going on. These are the people at Solidarity House under the living agreement who can add to, change, or delete any language in either the national agreement or the local agreement. So if there's something going on in your local that's not consistent with what the national parties have agreed to in the UAW council downtown, they can reach down to their little brother subsidiary in your local and say, this language in your local agreement is not consistent with what we're doing. And so then you're probably going to negotiate an MOU. So the thing that I have found, it took me about 2 or 3 days to get all this straight in my mind. And I had to use, what I did was I reverse engineered the highlights back through the language in the contract. What they do is, when they're saying quality and competitiveness, now that's the responsibility of the chairman and the plant manager, that pair. Or, and when I first read it, I thought, oh, this is great. And then a half a sentence later, I see, or their designated representatives. Well, that means they can go hide in a closet and let somebody else do the dirty work. Or their designated representatives. So you got all kinds of people that we'll call designated representatives. And there's all kinds of committees when you go to document 16 in terms of how they operationalize Appendix L, the sourcing language. And what's interesting is document 16 has a bunch of referral parts of the contract. Appendix K has a bunch of referrals, and yet when we go to Appendix L, and by the way, I was on that original group of 12 people in 1993 that wrote that Appendix L language. You may remember, Scott or Don, I told you in that contract, there was a bunch of us, you're usually assigned to 5 or 6 subcommittees in national negotiations, and Cal Rapson, who was the AA to Steve, came into a, I was sharing an office with a friend of mine who was in charge of Pell, and came to me, Jim, you're off all the subcommittees you're on. And I said, am I fired now? Am I off the staff? Am I going back to the gear and axle? He said, no. He said, go into the big conference room. We were on the 5th floor of the GM building. As people may or may not know, you move into that wing of the General Motors building. And then they take the staff and put you in offices of 2s. You get assigned to 1 to as many as 8 or 9 subcommittees. And then that's how you spend your days working on whatever subcommittees your boss thinks you're best at. And then slowly but surely, as all those subcommittees meet and come to some resolution, that winnows itself down into the contract. So he said, all I'm telling you is you're off all the subcommittees you're on, and go to that count, go to that big room. So when I went into the big room, there was a guy there from the research department who was a PhD economist, Mark. I knew him well. There was a guy there from the Social Security Department where they handle pensions and all that stuff. And then, let's see, there was Capshaw, me, blah, blah. And then there was about 5 or 6 of us who were on the staff. And I saw Mark there from the research department. I said, what the hell are you doing here? He said, what are you doing here? I said, I don't know. I've just been fired from all my sub-council, from all my subcommittees. And he laughed. He said, well, we all have been. And so Cal came in, and he said, you guys now are charged with taking Attachment C. Attachment C was the sourcing language up until that time for years. It was an attachment, not an appendix. You guys are charged with taking Attachment C and take a clean sheet. Steve agreed with General Motors. They want a clean sheet set of language for sourcing. We're starting from scratch. And you guys are, none of you on any subcommittees, and you will be in this room every day at 8:30 in the morning, and you will not leave until I come in and tell you you can go home. And so we had attachment C and some very ambiguous instructions to come up with a whole new approach to sourcing. And we did that. Actually, in the first iteration of Appendix L, the chairman could write a grievance if there was a violation of sourcing language. And you got to know they weren't going to let the chairman have that much power for very long. So in the next contract, that part came out because they're going to run this from Solidarity House in the gym building. So that's how Appendix L is in there. But interestingly enough, in the 2015 contract, there are no reference paragraphs under Appendix L itself. They are all in the working language of Document 16 and Appendix K. And so what they do is they refer to things like Paragraph 78, which is speed ups, as we all know, right? They jack the speed of the line up. They refer to Paragraph 69, which is transfers. You say, well, what the hell is speed ups and transfer language got to do with this? They refer to paragraph 33. So they have a lot to do with it because it's not just sourcing anymore. This is where they put the language where all of a sudden you have an obligation that has to do with your behavior, because that is the word they use in that language. Behavior. Now, you say, well, sourcing, hell, I work on the floor. But that wheel that they're grinding on says that we are determining whether you will get work or lose work and how competitive your plant is. So what they've done is they've scooped up all that Saturn stuff and put it there under sourcing. Is this getting way too much? Am I making this understandable at all? Or not?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can say what I'm saying, but is it kind of understandable? You get the drift of what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. Rebecca, Scott, yeah. Jim? Okay.
Well, not to diminish Rebecca's presence. I don't know how much of a contract language mechanic she is. I'm interested that Scott and you, Don, kind of get the idea of what I'm talking about. So anyway, the language is there, though. I mean, but I'm going to tell you, you've got to keep all three of those. You got to keep the two appendixes and Document 16 in mind when you're reading any one of the three. You got to have the other two in your mind, and you got to have an image here, Appendix L, sourcing, no reference language, and all that's in K, which it says these are the things that are going to happen, and then you go to the document 16, and all of a sudden you got an 11-page document. Now, having negotiated the Saturn agreement,
what happened?
Well,
Dick? Dick, did you hit mute? Uh-oh, we lost Dick. He'll call back in, hopefully.
Yep, and I'm trying to put down his email, Rebecca, as dick@river@yahoo.com.
Okay.
But it's censoring me like a crazy thing, and then somehow I started kissing somebody.
Okay, thank you.
Well, in the chat room, it won't let you do that. So I put in there another name for Richard that starts with a D.
Yeah, I see that.
Okay.
It's
so,
yeah.
You know, what Dick was talking about, it's happened to Jimmy's plant. It's happened at ours. It's happening currently as we speak. Under the document 16, now there are other understandings. This is towards the end of that 11-page document he's talking about. It says there may be situations where assembly plants discuss the practicality of insourcing what is commonly called upfitting, or the assembly of performance parts or production vehicles. In this regard, the local parties have the responsibility to discuss and evaluate cost and other factors in order to determine the feasibility of performing such work in-house. Now, I told you a while back ago, we're losing a whole lot of work to either LSI, Link, Android Industries coming back into town. Lear Seating's building a new plant over by the airport, I guess. I don't know if Jimmy knew about that or not.
I do.
400 jobs. 400 jobs that they're going to add.
Yeah. God, he might still be going. Let me try to call him. I've never done this from the switchboard, but I have a opportunity. I can call. Let's see if it works.
Give him a heck, Dom.
Okay.
Go for it, bud.
Is everybody hear that ring?
Yeah.
Or is it
yeah,
just,
it's good.
Okay, all right.
Should we do it correctly? One ringy dingy, two ringy dingy?
Hello, we are not available now. Please leave your name and phone number after.
Okay, all right. He must still be on. You know,
he's
could
still
be
talking to us. He doesn't know he dropped the call. If you want to know the truth.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I know. Wow. Oh,
I'm gonna continue then if we can figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
It talks
Scott,
about evaluating. Yeah.
Well, in your humble opinion, though, isn't this a new fancy way for wording whip sign?
It's not really fancy. Because if you get to the very bottom of this before Kathy Clegg signed, it's pretty blatant, actually. During the negotiations, the parties discussed situations that arise when multiple plants perform identical or nearly identical work. In such situations, it could be mutually advantageous to examine performing a particular operation or operations at a single plant. By way of example, analysis may show consolidating such work into a single location may present a better alternative that would be realized by outsourcing the subassembly from each individual assembly plant. The Appendix L sourcing criteria will not be used to develop business cases. Upon request, the National Sourcing Committee specific multi-plant business case opportunities will be reviewed to determine the feasibility of performing further evaluation. I think that's pretty blatant in your face, isn't it?
I'm going to try to call him. You guys keep talking. Keep going.
Go for it. I believe with that, and I don't know if you've heard anything about this Tim project right out here by my house. It's some type of new green plant, but my gosh, are they buying up property and right off 69, they're going to build their own exit ramp. It's going to be a green plant, Scott, but it's TIM.
Right. Hello, we are not available
Toyota
now.
And Mazda.
Please leave your name and...
Okay.
We're hearing all that. Okay,
go ahead.
I don't know if Don's paid much attention because Don lives right by me, I believe. And he's probably going to have it really affect his property value, too.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And now, where is this going to be at?
It's going to be right here in Duran. It's actually going to be from Brown Road to Duran Road, north of 69. They bought 800 acres. Now, a lady here that I know, she just sold them another 120 acres for $3 million, sir.
Wow.
Do they need two more acres? If they need two more acres, I know a gray-haired, wrinkled-up, prune-looking guy that'll sell 2 acres to them real cheap.
It's like me. I only got 178, but I'd do it in a heartbeat.
So, what is this project called again?
TIM Project, Tim. But it's going to be all green. They're claiming they're going to have a 1 million square foot built, some type of electronic motor plant, you know, and wiring harness plant for the auto companies. They got a 20-year tax break here from the city of Durand. There's a lot of things that aren't being said, but there's a lot of action starting to happen. But they're where the Graf Chevrolet dealer is in Durand. They're gonna border all around him.
Wow. Wow.
I have a friend that's a salesman there, and he said they were told to look for property elsewhere that they would really like to buy that property too.
Damn.
Huh.
But they want to be right on that railroad track, you know, and they want to be right on the I-69 corridor. That way they say they can feed Flint, Lansing, and Fort Wayne. Well, if you think about it, 69 at Lansing, it veers straight south right into Fort Wayne.
Right down the road. Hey, now, Jimmy, when you talk to Dick, if he doesn't realize that something might be wrong with his phone, too. But you make sure we tried. And
I want to get off this phone real quick. I happen to know his cell phone number. So let's try that and see if I can get his butt back, and I'll come back.
Absolutely. Okay. Jim. All right, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my. Because he might think I hung up on him or something. I don't want that.
No.
It's not the first time we've lost numbers, callers. They just go bye-bye. Maybe he's got the same kind of weather and worse up north. I don't know. But we got my phone's been going crazy with these banners, high wind alert and all kinds of crap. It's supposed to have a severe thunderstorm also alert. But I haven't seen any of that. Oh, my. Huh. Sounds like I'm watching The Wizard of Oz. Oh, my.
Lions and tigers and thunderstorms. Oh, my.
Right. That's right. My. Anyway, I'm interested in this because I have never heard anything like this. And Dick was explaining to, you know, when... somebody explains it pretty good, like Dick. I understand what he's saying.
Right.
What?
Well, I checked out. It was back on July 17th this year. MLive posted that Mid-Michigan Tom wants details on secretive $4 billion project promising 800 jobs. And they're saying it's going to be 24 million square feet building.
Whoa, that's a big plant.
That's huge.
Wow.
That's huge. And they're making it with some kind of special high-grade steel, too.
If I hired into a General Motors plant right now, or any plant, I would be going to school, learning a new trade. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I just don't see any future in the unless you're skilled at robotics.
Right.
I just don't see any future.
Right. And we know what's happening with us now. We know what's happening with auto workers. It looks unless leadership of the union steps up and starts doing what they're supposed to do. On behalf of the union, not the corporation, our union is going to go the way of the dinosaur. Just my opinion. That's just what it's looking like.
Well, I'm telling you, the House of Representatives, they're coming up with a plan right now on how to get income tax from robots, from the how many robots you've got in your factories and or whatever. They are
going to
look just like they would if it was a regular employee.
So does that mean then you need to go after union dues then too, or what?
I don't think the robots need them. Oh, no. But they are going to, according to the plan, they're going to try to, or they're going to, they don't have to try, they're going to tax the robot, you know, the robots, like the workers. So let me get, this is Jimmy. Jimmy, you're back on.
Thank you. No luck. I tried both numbers. He had told me earlier that they were having horrific winds where he lives way back in the bush. I'm just
right.
wondering if something didn't take his trees lines out, phone lines out.
Oh, yeah, that's a good possibility. I hope he's hope everything's all right.
Oh, I'm sure he is. I just sent up another fifth. What do you call that? XO.
Oh, geez. Yeah, he's fine. He's fine. It's cold up here.
Yeah,
it's cold there where he's at. So he's nice and toasty.
Yep. But anyway, and I'm sorry, I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware of this Tim project because, man, they've been keeping it kind of on the quiet side right here for the residents.
Yes, they have. It was almost by accident I heard about it, and I didn't even really realize what the hell it was.
I didn't realize that they were making electronic motors and stuff like that for the automakers is what it says. But it says, you know, it's going to be for Toyota and Mazda. But then if that's the case, then why do they need a pipeline to Flint and Lansing?
Good question. Good question. Maybe for future endeavors with General Motors. I don't know.
Yeah, right. And I've looked at that military vehicle they're making with that. I mean, they made, you know, a buttload of them for the Army that are four-wheel drive, and they're running. Those apparently have a motor on each axle. But what the military's doing, which is great for them, is, you know, this thing exhausts water, and they're trying to figure out, can this water be potable? Can it be drinkable? How much water can we get? And, you know, it's going to charge itself while it's going down the road. It's quite a machine.
Scott, is that what you were telling me earlier?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
pretty amazing.
A little
bit about last week, and it's under an acronym. It's called SURF,
yeah.
I believe. And it stands for... Silent Utility Rover Universal Superstructure. And the Army was delivered last Monday. They have a Colorado, Chevrolet Colorado, dubbed the Z as in Zebra, H as in Henry, 2. And I posted that on Workers' Workplace and Union. So if you want to see that, I shared that with Don earlier. It's quite the... quite the little truck, it really is. And hopefully the Army will really like that. But,
oh, that, and they're going to work all the bugs out for him, Scott. But one thing, correct me if I'm wrong,
yep.
Didn't they agree to give that Colorado work to some company in Ohio?
I don't know. All I know is
I want to say we did.
That one. I know we have, they're looking at medium duty and light duty production in these also. And
another thing that blows my mind, Scott, what have you heard about Lordstown?
Nothing. Since they lost the shift, nothing.
Thank you. That's what I mean.
So,
that's scary.
Yeah. I don't know. If you stop and think of in light of what you talked about and what Richard talked about, and what's in this document 16 in paragraph L and appendix
yeah,
L appendix K. You know, it's not whipsaw anymore. It's just right up. You know, which one's going to be advantageous for us to keep. Can we consolidate all the trucks at one plant? Can we consolidate more products under one place? I mean, you got Hamtramck's going to be losing 200 people, indefinite layoff. a bunch of them are going to be getting a six-week layoff starting mid-November, and then 200 of them will not be coming back at all. Like I said, Lordstown's lost a whole shift. Lansing's lost a shift. I mean, it's getting bad.
Yeah, last
and,
thing
you know,
I heard about Lordstown, did they not take two unions and merge as one, I think?
Yes, they did. Yes, they
and
did.
Then
they
got
consolidated.
You know, and a lot of people are unaware of this. At Spring Hill, they are also building that, oh, God, that SUV. What the heck is it, though? The smaller one.
They're making the train, aren't they? Or not the train. Shoot.
The Chevy.
Maybe it is.
Equinox. They're making the Equinox there right now, but ain't nobody talking about that crap yet. But, you know, if you do a good job today, you're going to have a job tomorrow.
I thought the Equinox is made up in Canada.
They've been there. I got a friend that a couple of my friends transferred down there, and they were utterly amazed that they got put on the Equinox line, but then they got moved because they were Tier 1. And they got walls and colors and I guess they're not supposed to be in certain parts of the plant.
Really?
Yeah, it's almost, it was like hearing about a Gestapo. I'd get confused in there and get fired. Of course, I have a tendency to that do anyway.
Right. Right.
Oh, I can't believe it.
That's,
you can't go in certain parts. That's nuts.
Yeah. Well, actually, Scott, it's my buddy that helped your friend paint their brick that night for the vote. No, Harry went down there and he told me, he goes, Jim, it's crazy down here.
This is insane.
Yeah.
But they do have their own agreement. They do have their own agreement.
Yep. And if you look at it, it looks pretty good up front because their chairman has every page of their agreement posted on their website. But he doesn't talk about this day wage shit.
No. No. And in the national contract, they have their own section for Saturn. They did in the 2011 agreement.
But Saturn's supposed to be gone, remember?
Well, Spring Hill, yeah. We call it Spring
Hill.
Yeah,
I know. That's what I keep thinking, you know, but they still got their own section.
Right.
Yeah.
And in 2011, they told you if you looked in, you had to have a copy of the white pages to find it. And if you look in the white pages, it specifically said that they want 75% of their workforce to be temporary.
Correct.
It said that right in the in the contractual language. So it sounds they're going ahead. What's that?
75%?
Yep.
I just wonder who's getting paid off for agreeing to all this.
Well, evidently in light of...
Go ahead.
In light of what we know about what happened down in Detroit, I think that answer is kind of self-explanatory, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Like the Ford Woodhaven agreement, you'll make 50 cents above the state's minimum wage.
Right.
Poor people. Oh.
Be like the poor people up in Saginaw, you know, they're working for making parts for a vehicle they could never afford to have.
Right. Right.
And then they get fired in the parking
lot
for saying, I don't like my union. I mean, I couldn't believe it. They can't even talk about their union.
Nope. Nope. And their health care. Some of these people could actually end up paying out more in their health care than what they make in a year.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's there. I mean, the groundwork is there. It's in a legally binding agreement. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Can't say, you know, I guess you can't say I played dumb to it. I didn't know about it. They'll say, well, it's right here in your contract. Right here on page whatever, paragraph this number, right here.
Scott, you agreement. And I both know how many paragraphs did they wipe all the language out, but they left the flipping number.
Yep.
We can put language in them numbers now, can't we?
Yeah.
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 That's why Dick said something that I never really comprehended, and I'll probably get around with this concussion. But I guess the steel workers or somebody filed a complaint with somebody because they themselves and nobody working for them at that time got the vote that they wanted a union. So somebody stepped in and said they needed to recertify, not decertify, recertify. That might be our only way to get our house back in order. Because nobody working for GM today, Ford or Chrysler, got to say, yeah, I want union representation.
Oh, that's true. Right. I never would miss that. Let me get Brian on. He's been in the switchboard for a while. Brian?
Well, the problem is everybody within the union is binding themselves to a system that wasn't designed by us. And I say, back in the 30s, when they established the union, there was no system. There were no labor laws. You guys are confining yourselves within the union system, and you got to think outside the box. The only thing that stands between us and the company is the UAW leadership. Meaning that if you don't get out of their game and come up with new tactics, you guys are going to be stuck in a spiral downward situation. It's time to get down to that solidarity house and remove them. I don't care how it's done, but it needs to be done. Because you guys are playing within their parameters, and you guys don't know a way out. And that's the bottom line. You guys got to think outside the box and stop playing in their game. They designed the game for you to fail. You don't need their rules and their laws to fight back. You can fight back by getting out in front of that solidarity house. Because back then in the 30s, that's what they would have done. They fought. They did sit-down strikes. They fought back. They died. They bled. They did all those things without being part of the system that was designed over the decades. And now because we're stuck in this system, sort of say, you guys don't know any other way out. The only way out is to jump out of their game and make up your own game. Because you guys already know your leadership's been bought off. You already know they're selling you out. You already know these contracts were negotiated in favor of the companies. So what else is there to think about? Those people that are on ABC crews, if you're out of state, organize in front of your region. If you're in state of Michigan, then you need to get out in front of the Solidarity House. There's nothing to be afraid of because you're already losing.
Yeah.
You're in the parameters of NAFTA. You're in the parameters of the company's rules. You're in the parameters of the UAW rules. And the UAW is not even following the UAW Constitution. So if the UAW leadership can jump out of and not follow their own rules, why are you guys following the rules?
Right.
It's time to fight. It's time to organize. It's time to think outside the box.
Well, I just got to tell you about this. I thought somebody went to Black Lake 2 weeks ago. They were at Black Lake. And Dennis Williams showed up at Black Lake. The region, we call it 1C, but it's 1D now. The director for that regional was there, and he told me that the president of our union, UAW President Dennis Williams, has a bodyguard. And he'll go anywhere without the bodyguard now. So I'm wondering what that's costing us.
Well, he had that bodyguard.
That's been going on for a long time. I've talked to Brian about this. That started all the way back, in the Ghetto Finger era. And, Brian, the only thing that scares me is if we do get inside the doors, what the hell are we going to do? We're going to get shot?
Yeah.
Well, it's better than dying of a slow death.
As I told you, you know, there's a few things. When you come in, you're like mid-floor. You got to go downstairs. You got to go upstairs. You know, there's an armory in there. You know, that's known history. You know, I just don't see what that would do to us. That's why I'm wondering if Richard isn't right by saying, you know, do the recertification and let them know.
Yeah, but you do that. How long is that process, and how long do you got to wait before you can certify again?
Well, if I'm still sucking air, that's worth waiting for than dying.
Well, my thing is,
what
I'm saying is, if you get out of the and have to recertify, the company can flip us upside down. My thing is, if the union is gonna open their little vault full of their guns and start shooting on labor, what do you think that's gonna do? That's gonna wake up the masses. That's what needs to be done. So let it happen. I'll be the first one through that gate. Because there's a lot of people that are prior military in the big three that also carry. So if that's what they want it to come down to, let it be. Because they got two places they can run, towards that river or towards us, towards Jefferson.
Right.
But if you guys are going to be scared to fight and you guys want to put limits on what you can do and what you can't do, then you're going to lose. There was no limits on the people back in the 30s when they established the union. They did whatever it took to establish this union and the rights of all members. That includes dying. I'm
well,
just saying.
Happened once before, didn't it? I know. And we're not telling people, we're not advocating violence right now, but we're just saying this is a discussion of options, and this is the frustration that some of the union members feel toward their own leadership and what the leadership is doing to the workers, to the temporaries, who should never be temporaries, and also to your family and to your communities.
Well, I'm not condoning violence neither, but if he's saying there's a gun vault in that Solidarity House and they're willing to open fire on their own members, that should tell you something.
Well, absolutely. You know, I mean, Dennis Williams doesn't travel anywhere without his bodyguard now. No, I'm just saying, you don't think that bodyguard's not armed. You're smoking something, you know what I mean?
Well, that bodyguard was there the last time me and Dennis Williams got into it. He's one guy.
Right. You know, he didn't bring up, he didn't ask Dennis Williams. I mean, I know what we would all ask Dennis Williams, but he didn't ask Dennis Williams about, you know, what's going forward. You know, it's all kumbaya now, and they try to, I guess we call it brainwash you up there, you know. So, Black Lake isn't what Black Lake isn't what it was designed for. Let's put it that way. So, I mean,
well, either is NTC. They spent, I mean, Chrysler gave $35 million for the fiscal year, and where'd they end up? In Florida. So where's all this money? Why is all this money going to NTC if they're going into other states for these conferences or whatever they're doing?
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, evidently it's like for them to get together and to collude with management again, this is opinion, but the clue of management for scenarios or situations like what Jim just talked about down in Spring Hill, Tennessee, day workers. That is so far removed from what our union standard is that I just cannot wrap my head around that. Day workers, Brian. Day workers. Wow. Think about that.
Day the workers. Fact is, this union, our leadership is already eating this union from within. And my thing is, if they collapse this union before you decertify, it ain't going to make a difference anyways, because we're going to be in trouble because these companies will rip us apart.
Yeah.
So my thing is, the only thing you can do is reform this leadership, and you got to do it outside the box. You can't do it by following their game plan, because they designed that game for us to fail.
Right.
I mean, you guys went to the 2015 convention. What'd they do? They divided the delegates, and they interrupted the one speaking out by using blowhorns and all other kinds of tactics to disrupt the whole convention.
There's nothing new there. Christ, you got the Sunrise Committee there working against you. You got the Flower Committee there working against you. That's why it's so important. Technically, unless you know that union official real well, you should never, ever send anybody to that convention that holds a flipping office.
Now, let me ask you this. The rules are, when you decertify, doesn't it take a year before you can recertify?
You're missing the point. You don't have to decertify. You make requests to recertify. You stay in the union. You're just taking your choice, either, okay, I'm going to be here, I'm going to be AFL-CIO, or whatever. But you're taking a recertification vote. You're not decertifying in any way, shape, or form.
So even if you recertified, if you look at the media, it seems like every single one of these unions, no matter what union tag you fall under, they're all going through the same things. So that means, as far as I'm concerned, all the leadership in every union is on the same playbook and doing the same things to the working force.
Yeah, but there again, we're listening to a media that is tainted like no other media that's ever been on, I'm going to say, on the face of our continent as far as being management pro. I mean, when you got two companies that own every newspaper in this country, you're only going to get one story.
Yeah, but you're not even listening to just the media. You're listening to the workers. I mean, look what happened with AT&T and those workers, or the Detroit News workers. I mean, the United Steel workers. They're all going through the same things, and it's the workers that are speaking out, but they feel like they have no other options. They feel stuck in a system that was designed by their union officials, and their union officials have been bought off. Because all the unions are crumbling. And it's not just through the government and through NAFTA. It's through our own leadership. Because they do not know how to negotiate in a global economy. So they figured, well, let me get mine. And they're rubbing shoulders with these companies. They're sitting on the company boards.
Right.
So, I mean, we can sit there and recertify and fall under another union tag. But are we going to get the same old, same old?
That's hard telling, because there are so many people that are so corrupt within the organization, down to the regional, the directors, assistant directors, who for so long have been taking their marching orders from Detroit. Who's going to want to jump in there and take that spot? You'll see a huge influx of infighting for that coveted spot. You know what I mean? It would be something.
Well, I'm not saying that we ain't going to have difficulties. We're definitely going to have difficulties finding the right people to fill those positions. But jumping from one union tag to the next, I don't think is going to make a difference. I think we're going to still be in the same situation.
Could be. Yeah.
My thing is we need to reform the leadership, and that's the bottom line. Now, how we do it is a whole nother story on finding the talented people within the workforce, the General Motors, Chryslers, and Ford that came off the floor, and finding these people that can fill these positions. Because I'm going to tell you guys something. When you look at it over the last quite a few decades of Norwood and General Holyfield and all them, all that nepotism hiring their families and friends that don't know shit about labor, don't know nothing about negotiating in a global economy. I mean, we got a bunch of people with no experience down at that Solidarity House right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think we can do that much worse than what they're already doing to us.
Hey, guys, I think we got Dick back. Hang on for a second. Dick?
Yeah, my battery died.
Oh, okay. I had to grab another phone.
I was listening on a computer. Go ahead. Don't let me interfere with the conversation.
No, hey, right. Dick, we want you to finish talking about that what you were talking about.
Where did I leave off? Does anybody? I know there was a lot there. Does anybody? I don't remember when my phone died. I had no notion that it had died. I was on the phone with a friend of mine for 3.5 hours today, so my one phone was, I grabbed it and it was gone. I was talking about sourcing, and you've got the world-class manufacturing system, Brian, over at Chrysler. Have you ever seen that manual?
No, I haven't.
My
matter
point
fact,
was
you
that,
you bringing it up was the first time I knew about it.
Okay, so the way I'm reading the General Motors structure, and I'm going to say it's going to be no different at Chrysler. I don't have a Chrysler agreement or a Ford agreement. If I did, I could do that. But Chrysler avoids talking about world-class manufacturing in their highlights. But what happens is you're all working under the world-class manufacturing system over there. I know it's about a 4-inch ring binder because the guy I was talking to, he had a good friend who retired from GM who got hired as a skilled trade foreman at Chrysler a couple of years ago. And actually, they hired him as a general foreman because he was a general foreman in GM for skilled trades. And they gave him a world-class binder, and he called up my friend and said, "You're not going to believe this goddamn thing." But that's what you're working under, and at least you can see some of the language. I've seen a slideshow of the world-class manufacturing, but nothing in GM, and yet we have all this language in what I'll call Attachment K and Attachment L and Document 16, which is an 11-page how-to handbook in one document. So that you have the national agreement, and you're working more under your world-class manufacturing agreement than you are the local agreement that you have. And what's interesting is they list one of the reference paragraphs as transfers, applying seniority, and that's one of the sub-paragraphs into this, how we operationalize this. So it's a consideration. So they're dealing with seniority. There's a reference to the grievance procedure, part of a paragraph in the grievance procedure. And so for all practical purposes, you've got the national agreement and you've got the manufacturing system, and the local agreement becomes kind of immaterial. And anyway, whatever they don't like that's in a local agreement, as you've said before, it's a living agreement. The UAWGM Council, and you have a typical structure like that at Chrysler, can add to, delete, or change anything in the national local agreements anyway. So it all becomes moot. But that's not my point. My point is, when you all voted for the contract, you don't know that the document that's determining your day-to-day work life, you've not seen it, they've not made it available to anybody. The only reference in the GM agreement is according to the seven principles of GMS. And what the hell are they? So that's how that shit works in GM. And there's more yet to read. I mean, I haven't read all the reference below language. And I'm just going to draw an organizational chart because there are three committees that exist locally, too, in GM that have to do with sourcing. One has to do with costing. I forget what the other two are about, BCT, PIC, something like that. But I did that 2 days ago, and then I got distracted today, and I didn't get back to it. So we have a different kind of world with that contract now. They've institutionalized this process, and God knows what the next contract's going to be. Although my sense is, like at Scott's plant, they've been building a new plant, a really big one. And they've already built a new paint shop and a new body shop. And now what they're doing is they're spending $79 million building a trim shop, because the trim shop in Scott's plant now is up in the second floor, and they're bringing it down to ground level and putting it literally next to this new building with conveyor tunnels between them, or covered conveyor things. So we can only assume that what's happening is that's the new truck plant, because they got a body shop, a paint shop, and now a new trim shop all right there in close proximity to that plant. Although General Motors won't say what the hell's going in there, but it's got to be pretty obvious if they're building a trim plant next to it that they're going to build trucks in there of some sort or another. But it will be a high-tech plant, a high-tech, high-tech plant. And there will be nowhere near the numbers of people for a given volume needed in that new plant as there are in the old one. That goes without saying. And now Jim and I came across some interesting. Mazda and Toyota are building a one-square-mile plant, an automobile plant, right up in Owosso, Michigan, on, I think it's 820 acres of land so far. And so it's going to be Toyota and Mazda in a joint venture under one roof, 1 square mile of building, all enclosed under one roof. And the Michigan Economic Commission has already granted them incentives. And the town that Jim lives in is where it's going to be, and they're going to benefit $391,000 a year in tax income from this joint venture. And I saw on the internet tonight that Mazda's got an all-electric car, and they got two versions of it. The all-electric one is going to stay in Japan, and the electric one with a rotary engine in it is going to come to America. So I can only assume they're calling this operation right now Project TIM, T-I-M. So I'm pretty well convinced that T is Toyota, M is Mazda, and I don't know what the hell I stands for. But I did find in the town of Duran's webpage, I found their tax calculations. I found their zoning. You have to have this new building in your township master plan, and the county has to have it in its land use master plan. So they've showed the map and not exactly where the building is, but all the roads that border it, the money that's involved. It doesn't talk about workers. It's talking about taxes and money and cash flows right now. But it's definitely going to be Toyota and Mazda right there in Owosso in Duran, Michigan. And Jim did a little scouting trip, and there's a big residence in there, and they're all booked full. And I asked him to take a look at the parking lot, and there were three or four brand new Japanese cars, and and three of them were the same. They had sequential license plates, so I think we're looking at a Ford Mazda Flat Rock operation, and there's going to rise up a little Japanese community in between Owosso and Duran, and they're right along I-69, so they can go straight up and supply Lansing if they got to supply them with anything. Although I'm not so sure that's what they're doing. I think that Toyota and Mazda are consolidating here in a very large, very high-tech plant to compete in domestic car industry right here in the heart of Michigan. A big plant, huge, humongous thing. So that's the latest on that. But I think you want to look at your national agreement, Brian, and go find this, look at your highlights. They don't talk about what they do in the GM highlights on page 8, where they talk about the National Chrysler UAW Council and the World Class Manufacturing Committee, and then how those two committees are parroted out in every single local. But you got to find it in your Chrysler agreement. And all you got to do is locate whatever the appendixes they've got on sourcing and see what's related to that. And then it should pretty much parrot what's going on, although you guys have made a bigger public investment in World Class, because Jim and I were down there last year. And I remember the string of buildings where the National Training Center is over there. Those were General Motors Division engineering buildings many, many years ago. But that's a big building where they've anchored their world-class manufacturing. And General Motors now, where we built a three-story, 75,000-square-foot building at I-75 and M-59. It was called the UAW-GM Human Resource Center. My information now is General Motors has got that building back, and Global Manufacturing Systems is in there. So they're building buildings for these manufacturing systems. I mean, these manufacturing system buildings, and they're full of union and management bureaucrats. I mean, that is going to be what you're working to, the manufacturing system. And slowly but surely, they'll be weaned away from your local agreement. I think, my own personal opinion, is what they've got the union involved in all their sourcing information and confidential information, is none of our damn business. Workers work in management. You guys want to run a quality system, run a quality system. Because the fact is, if you're working on an assembly line, and you tighten down lug nuts, I don't care if it's the Chrysler World Class Manufacturing System or if the damn Global Manufacturing System at Ford or GM, putting in a windshield is putting in a windshield. Putting in interior systems is putting in interior systems. And you have no control over anything except what you're doing to put the damn thing together. So involving union people in things that are management's job, for me, is marginally illegal under the National Labor Relations Act. There's way too much union involvement in the business of what is the job of management to run the business. The National Labor Relations Act is clear. The only time you see the corporation referred to in the National Labor Relations Act is they say capital. They call it capital. Capital's job is to create an organization, to create product or service, and to generate a profit and employment. And that's as much as they got to say about management. And they say the purpose of the union is to negotiate wages, working conditions, and hours of work, and a couple of other things. Now, how those two things have anything in common is beyond me. And there is an article written by a guy named Jared Kozin that is entitled The conflict the UAW has with the VEBA. Now, I don't know if you got a copy of that, But I'll try and find it. Well, I can't send it to you. Your email address doesn't work. But this thing lays that out pretty good, and it talks about the VEBA and the implied conflict that that has with taking the company stock. And it's written by a lawyer from the law school. It's not written by some airhead academic. And that's a pretty good article, that the value attitude. It tells you about what is management and what is union under the National Labor Relations Act in that conflict.
That's got something to tell you.
What?
Yeah, the show's over here in just about 10 seconds.
Okay, I'm done. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go on.
No. We need
You're
to come
fine.
Back because there's conversation.
Let me
ahead.
Say this to whoever's listening, wherever you are. Please send in some emails. Ask us some questions, any question. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're working in an automobile factory in England, we got emails from England, we got emails from Germany in years gone by. If you're working in an industrial environment, you all have the same problems that anybody else does anywhere else on the planet. And please, if we can help you, send in questions. And for those that work in Detroit 3 plants that are concerned about participating in the show, I don't want to speak for Don, but I know Don has said in the past, if you email us questions, no one will know it came from you or what local it came from. Am I right, Don?
That is correct.
We need those questions. We can't sit here talking to each other. That's not what this show was originally intended to be. It was to help people with the problems they have in their workplace, or help us understand if you're a guy in India, or if you're a guy in the United Kingdom, or you're a Bakken worker in Opal. We had talked to people like that from all over the place with the problems they have. And that's what marshaling some global unionism is about. If two or three or four of us can sit here and help you with mutual problems you have with workers that have here, that's what you have in common. A couple of our colleagues keep talking about solidarity. That we had that solidarity on the plant because there were people from all over the world that were emailing questions in. So please send them in. If you don't want your plant location uncomfortable, then don't. Just send a note to Don, and he'll tell us. And that's all I got. I wanted to make that appeal before the show was over today.
Good job.
I'm done.
Yeah. Okay, Scott?
Yes, sir.
Don't yes, sir, me. Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
You got to end the show. You're done.
No, I think that maybe we could probably pick this conversation up next week, because I think people need to know just how nasty this thing is.
Well, I'll have a better understanding. I mean, I got a pretty good understanding now, but I haven't really parsed it out word by word, and I haven't really got those relationships until I investigate those three or four other committees that are in Document 16. I have to find those somehow. But I'll have a much better, easier to understand explanation. And then the help is, what is the world-class manufacturing? If anybody's out there from Ford, read the contract and tell us what your contract says. I'll say the same thing to the Chrysler guys. Let's compare this language here.
Well, I'll be ready for you next week with that, because I don't have that in front of me, and when you were talking about it, I couldn't reference.
Oh, God, I'm sorry, Rebecca. Yeah, just go back and find the sourcing language and see all the things that are connected to it.
Yeah.
And then find your highlights and see if they say anything about it in the highlights.
Yeah.
I think Chrysler is pretty sparse. But GM's got a whole lot of on page 8 of their highlights. I'm going to have to go look at Ford and see what they say about it. But anyhow, okay, I'm done. I don't want to take up any more time.
Brian Callahan might be able to get a hold of Marty. Marty, I believe, works for Ford. Marty would probably have that information.
I thought Marty worked at Kokomo down in Indiana.
I thought he did.
Okay. No, I don't think so.
Oh, really? I thought he was in Indiana, too.
Do you know where he works, Rebecca?
I think he does work at Ford. I thought he worked at Ford.
There's nobody in Ford down in Indiana.
No.
Okay, that's interesting. Maybe he does. Yeah. I don't know. When he comes out, I'm going to have to ask. Well, I've got his email. I think I'll email him directly. Where the hell do you work anyway?
Right, right.
What's the secret, for Christ's sake? It's on your paycheck.
Okay.
You don't know what's on your paycheck, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Right.
Do we get checks anymore?
But that would be a good project if we could compare the three companies with these manufacturing systems, because that's what you're all living under now, more than even the national agreement.
Right.
Okay.
Be a good project.
I'll work on this end for us.
Form a committee, Rebecca.
I will.
Quietly.
Right.
Quietly.
Well, why quietly?
Because they say I get in trouble all the time, Dick.
They can always discipline you for espionage and trying to find out what's in the world-class manufacturing system manual. If there's they'll create a shop rule called espionage. You're spying on yourself.
Okay.
It's just getting insane. It's just getting insane.
It sure is.
All right. Good show, Don. Good show.
Hey, good. Thank you, Jim. I'm glad you and Dick came. I'm glad we're going to have you. You guys, Scott, you got something to say? Quickly?
No, just that everybody have a safe week. And pay attention to what's going on around you.
Yep.
That's about it.
On behalf
Good night, everybody.
On behalf of Dick, Kim,
good night, Rick.
Scott, Rebecca, Brian, and my name is Joe. We'll talk to you next Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Hi.
Good night.